91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today we welcome back jazz producer extraordinaire, Larry Rosen. He'll talk about his long, illustrious career and a new season of Jazz Roots coming to the Arsch November 6th. Our jazz and blues contributor Bob Weinberg previews the swinging new CD from the Bobby Rodriguez Orchestra, Something Old, Something New. Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up a word on food, and our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar features Deborah Margol. Please stay with us to catch the conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News.
Ed Bell's South Florida Arts Beat, which airs each Friday at 1 p.m., is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. on WLRN Extra HD, now with more power and better coverage in South Florida. Listen on your HD radio at 91.3-2 or live online at WLRN.org.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Bob Weinberg previews the new CD by the Bobby Rodriguez Big Band, Something Old, Something New. Chef Norman Van Aken presents A Word on Food, and our arts calendar today features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Now we welcome back to the show musician, producer, executive producer, and music industry entrepreneur, the legendary Larry Rosen, who together with the Arsht Center will present the 8th annual Jazz Roots Concert Series and Educational Program starting November 6th at the Knight Concert Hall in Miami. Mr. Larry Rosen, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Hey, hi. Good to see you again.
Good to have you with us again, sir. And Larry, we want to talk about the effect of your magnificent record company, GRP Records. You and Dave Grusin put together an incredible record company that, for decades, I dare say, really changed the sound of jazz, introduced new musicians, and really moved America's music into the contemporary technological world. What do you think the effect has been of GRP Records on American music?
Well, I'm very happy to say that I think it's made an important introduction to these artists and to audiences around the United States and around the world. Because without having people like Dave Grusin and myself take on those efforts, you know, a lot of those people will never get discovered.
And discover some great names. You certainly did, and you helped out many more names continue their careers. I'm thinking of people still in the business like Al Jarreau. You helped out wonderful John Lucien, who was originally from where? Tortola,
right.
I think, in the British Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And Noel Pointer, David Valentin, and then you helped out already established artists like Chick Corea and the great Ramsey Lewis. You produced the wonderful PBS program with Ramsey. This is an uncommon experience in jazz promotion and production. Can you give us any thoughts about the years that you were involved with all of these great musicians?
Well, it was from starting in the mid-70s all the way up to today, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a long period of time. But, you know, technology has changed during that time period, and new young artists came along, and we had the opportunity to do both, to look at technology and how that was changing and how we could contribute to that area. And at the same time, to be able to sit with those artists and meet them and give them an opportunity to be exposed. So on all levels, that's been a wonderful thing for the industry and for us.
Now, back then, did artists tend to approach you, or did you actively go out and seek these artists, or was it perhaps a combination of both to get them involved with GRP?
Well, you know, it's always a combination of both. Artists are always looking for opportunities to be exposed, and certainly if anybody like Dave and I, who look to take on music in a real big way, of course you had to find the artists at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it was, you know, both things had to work hand in hand for it to take root like it did.
Sure. Part of your legacy is you've been an incredible music industry entrepreneur. And I seem to remember back in either the late 70s or the early 80s, you were working the new format called DAT tape. And then, of course, in the early 80s, the new format was the compact disc. Can you give us a feel for what you were experiencing when you tried to release this new format in the jazz context?
Well, you know, the compact disc, when that was launched, it was really kind of launched more in Japan than it was even in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we traveled a lot to Japan and got a chance, an opportunity to be exposed to a lot of this technology. And as we did that, we then started utilizing that technology. So when we bring it back to the United States, where it was really slow to get launched, we had the opportunity to take this material and bring it out to people who were interested in new technology. And one of the things that was really interesting about this, the record companies themselves were not interested in this technology. They had LPs, and they had what they had as far as inventory was concerned, and they didn't want to start coming up with a whole new format. But we were so involved in it, we just stepped into it, and we had the opportunity to go into the first stores that were selling compact discs, and they needed to have material to play on their CD players, and we were there in creating this material, and one thing helped the other, and it exploded.
Sure. Not too many outlets had that early technology. I think I was the first one here at our humble radio station to bring in my own purchased CD player so that I could play CDs on the air. We were a few years behind the time technologically, but you weren't. You saw the writing on the wall. You saw the future of the audio industry.
In a certain way, we did, but you're absolutely right. You know, there were very few places where you could actually buy CDs, and certainly playing it on the air was not happening very much. You were one of the first ones to go get your own machine because nobody else had it.
But you kept us supplied among just a few other great record companies, and the artists you have worked with over the years is just astounding. Chick Corea, Diana Krall, Patty Austin, the great B.B. King, Dave Grusin, Ramsey Lewis, as we mentioned. And tell me about working with Arturo Sandoval. You got to him real early after he jumped ship off of Cuba.
Yeah, he left Cuba and came to the United States and was looking for a record deal. And I happened to meet him through a few other people, and we started talking. He wasn't even, at that point, didn't speak English at all.
Mm.
But the musicians around him all knew about this genius musician. I mean, he's just such an incredible artist. And we talked about what kind of record we would make for the first one, and Arturo was just sensational, and we went into the studio and started recording as soon as we can. And before you know it, you know, it was one album after another, after another, after another. And needless to say, his career is amazing.
So you have been the executive producer or the main producer for more than 350 recordings. That's mind-boggling. A typical ridiculous question would be, Larry Rosen, what's your favorite? Now, I know you don't have a favorite because the love of music for you is genre-wide, but you really have covered an awful lot of jazz genres from bebop to mainstream to smooth jazz. In fact, I dare say you launched the smooth jazz format in the early 80s before there were any smooth jazz stations.
I'm sure you're right, because at that time, that format was completely new, and the compact disc was really one of the elements that helped launch that format. So they kind of worked hand in hand also, and it gave opportunities to a lot of new young artists, and at the same time, that technology was then passed on to all kinds of other ways of playing that music. So it was very helpful all around, or else it would never have happened.
Larry, it's really marvelous that throughout your career you've been lauded in so many wonderful ways. You've received the Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year Award early on in new media and entertainment for your great work in, obviously, new technology. The Grammy Governor Honor Roll, you served on the Dave Brubeck Institute. Are you still with that?
It doesn't exactly exist that way after Dave passed away.
Yeah.
But he was such an important artist, needless to say. His music will live on forever. So
sure.
I feel just to be part of it and the history of it has been something I just remember my whole life.
You're on the Frost School of Music here in South Florida, their steering committee, and you and Dave Grusin, your co-founder of GRP Records, on the National Foundation for Jazz Education. Jazz education, very important to you. And in our next segment with Larry Rosen, we want to talk about the Music for Youth Foundation and your work with the wonderful ARSHT Performing Arts Center to educate the kids here in South Florida about America's great music. Larry, hang on a second. We'll be right back with Mr. Larry Rosen here on South Florida Arts Beat.
Great. I'm right here.
Listening to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the show, Bob Weinberg previews the new CD by the Bobby Rodriguez Big Band, Something Old, Something New. Chef Norman Van Aken plates up a word on food. And our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar today features Deborah Margold. Now, we return to the conversation with our legendary jazz guest. And we're back with Mr. Larry Rosen, musician, producer, executive producer, and music industry entrepreneur. Great to have you back, Larry.
Thank you so much, Ed.
We, of course, are real excited about the 8th Jazz Roots season with a world-renowned concert series and educational program. And that's where we want to start, because both you and the wonderful ARSHT Center have always been interested in educating the youth of Miami-Dade County, public school system certainly, and perhaps more, about America's music. Why is that necessary?
It's incredibly necessary because people, especially young people, have to know the history of this nation. And to know American history, it's really to know American music. Because that is the root of many of the music and stylistic elements of this country.
Now tell me, what happens on any given event when you cooperate with the Miami-Dade County Public School System and, of course, the ARSHT Center? What actually takes place? Do you have busloads of students coming in? What's going on?
Well, you know, from the very beginning of putting on a jazz series here, I felt it was extremely important that we bring in young people. So that was one of the components of the concept right from the beginning. So young people are brought to every single show. So it could be anywhere from 200 students to more.
Mm.
And that is vitally important because we bring them in the early part of the day so they could start understanding and learning about the music by hearing it, hearing rehearsals that are taking place, hearing the artists speak. And a lot of times we have these young students that are already playing instruments sit down with the artist and have an opportunity to play with everybody from Wynton Marsalis to some of the, you know, the greatest people in the world. Open up those kind of doors to young people, what could be greater than that?
Sure, sure. It's really a marvelous effort, and it's great that it's a big part of every Jazz Roots series and show, I presume. So how do the kids react when a jazz musician is up on stage teaching them? Because jazz musicians are really affable people for the most part, as you know, and they give and they give. Give us a feeling as to what goes on with the kids. Do they get it?
Oh, they definitely get it. But the interesting part of it is I didn't know if they were going to get it. Because, you know, when you listen to what kids listen to today, generally speaking, as far as popular music, you would wonder, how do they understand who Thelonious Monk is or these great jazz artists who created the world's greatest music? But when you see them and you see them at a rehearsal and they get a chance to listen to the music and hear more about it, they start to understand this very, very quickly. And part of what we want to pass on to them is for them to understand that this is a history to this music, that if they're listening right now to some hip-hop music, this would never have occurred if it wasn't for Louis Armstrong and people that happened way at the beginning, way before they were born. And once they get a handle around that stuff, they get very excited about it.
Do you ever see any recognition in their eyes or their reactions that they might be able to get in on this thing called jazz?
I do. I do see that. I have kids come in and send emails, make calls, everything you could possibly imagine to get more information about this music. You know, at the beginning, I didn't know if that was going to happen that way. But they're very open. Kids are very open to music. And they'll jump in and listen to whatever is available as long as it's good. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Well, I think it's the work that you and the Arsch Center are doing in this regard certainly is just amazing. You're helping to build jazz audiences for the future and music lovers of the future, and bravo to you and the Arsht. Let's get into the 8th season of Jazz Roots.
Yeah.
More info at LarryRosen.com, and of course, more information available at JazzRoots.net. So tell me about the first show, November 6th, Larry, movie music of a great filmmaker.
Well, you know, we have a great filmmaker in Spike Lee, because Spike Lee is a legend on his own, and he's attempted not only so many stylistic components to it, but he's such an innovator as far as stylistically and music that couldn't ask for more than that.
Oh, yeah. Now, performing will be the Terrence Blanchard Quintet and one of my favorite jazz vocalists, the tremendous D.D. Bridgewater, right. Mesa, Liz Wright, and this incredible South Florida group, the Frost School of Music's Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra. Once again, that's November 6th. The next show is a holiday show, December 4th, featuring Kenny G. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, needless to say, Kenny G is a legend all around the world. He's somebody who's taking basically the roots of jazz and made it into a pop style of his own. And his presentations of the music. And in some cases, people go, oh, Kenny G, I'm not sure he's my favorite artist. But once you go and sit and listen to him play, you get so blown away of what kind of a musician he is. It's a very special experience.
That's December 4th, the Kenny G 2015 Holiday Show. The new year brings us on January 15th, 2016, as part of the 8th annual Jazz Roots series, Salsa Summit. This is a big topic for South Florida. Eddie Palmieri's Salsa Orchestra. That spells excitement to me.
It does to me, too. I mean, Eddie Palmieri is a legend on his own, and he stylistically has taken so much about the roots of jazz as well as of Latin music and kind of melded them and put it together in a new way that is historical. So he's one of those unique guys.
That sounds like a marvelous show, particularly for South Florida. Mm-hmm. February 5th, 2016 brings us a show called Celebrating the Good Life with the legendary Patti LaBelle. She certainly is. She's a magnificent vocalist, and she loves jazz and blues. She came up with the great music as well as gospel. Her special guest will be Ashley Smith. Tell me about both.
Well, first of all, Ashley is a new young artist who we've discovered very recently. And she is making history right now. We're talking about a recording deal with her and a number of things because she came through some organizations that we're very much involved in. And she was just the winner of our Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Competition. So this really gives her an opportunity to step out and make a whole bunch of noise. So we're excited.
What do you think their repertoire might be?
It's going to be, in many ways, a straight-ahead genre, but these players have so much ability to do so many different things.
Yeah.
Well, you know best when you get ready to stop playing.
The 8th season of Jazz Roots, a Larry Rosen Jazz Series taking place at the Adrian Arsht Center for March 11th, 2016, features the closest we can get to old Blue Eyes, his son, Frank Sinatra Jr. That'll be fun.
Well, that's going to be incredible because Frank Sinatra, needless to say, from a musical point of view, the legend goes on. And it goes all the way back to understanding the history of the music, all the way to the big bands through everything that we could think of today about music, all the way to Lady Gaga, you know, is making noise with that kind of music. So it's interesting to see the scope of this great American music, how it lives on and on and on. And Frank Sinatra is one of those people who was responsible for this to happen from the get-go.
Do you think brother Frank Sinatra Jr. will bring up his sister with her boots on?
I have no idea.
That would be a surprise.
That would be.
For us all. There'll be one more show in the 8th season of Jazz Roots, but we can't announce it. Can you give us a little teaser, maybe?
Well, it's pretty exciting, I'll tell you that. And it's just a matter of getting all the pieces put together.
Sure.
So we could actually make the announcement. The sooner the better.
Sure. Well, once again, it's always a thrill to speak with Larry Rosen. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, Larry, for us. And more information, as we mentioned, at LarryRosen.com, JazzRoots.net, JazzRoots.com, and, of course, ArshtCenter.org. Larry Rosen, thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
Hey, Ed, thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you've done over the years, because you're a lover of the music and you have one of the greatest appealings to talk to people about the music. And we need more people like you to help it grow.
Well, it's my honor to have you on the show. And Larry, you be well, and we'll catch you down here when Jazz Roots takes off on November 6th.
Well, thank you. Take care.
Please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. South Florida Arts Beat returns in just a moment. Ed Bell with you. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken's A Word on Food and Deborah Margol's Miami-Dade Arts Calendar. Now, our jazz and blues contributor Bob Weinberg previews an exciting new big band recording from Bobby Rodriguez.
Something old, something new is part of the proverbial gift list for newlyweds. It also provides the title and prime directive for the Bobby Rodriguez Orchestra's hard-charging new CD. Effortlessly marrying decades of big band tradition with contemporary ensemble jazz, Rodriguez and his 19-piece swing machine interpret Great American Songbook standards, sizzling Latin jazz, and even rock and roll, all played with a joyful intensity and virtuosity born of many years on the bandstand together. When Rodriguez first assembled his big band in the early 80s, gigs were plentiful. The Fort Lauderdale-based band leader and vocalist says the group worked three or four nights a week back then, playing area clubs, as well as events such as the Hollywood Jazz Festival, the Starlight Musical Series at George English Park, and the Sunday Jazz Brunch on the Riverwalk. Rodriguez stocked his band with some of the area's top musicians, including saxophonists Billy Ross and Neil Bonsanti, and trumpeters Dennis Noday and John Branzer, each a band leader in his own right, and all of whom perform on Something Old, Something New. As does Miami Sound Machine trumpet ace Teddy Mollet, who plays with the band when he's not on the road. Baritone saxophonist Murray Klarman, a 20-year veteran of the band who passed away last year, is also here, as is his legacy replacement, his son, Scott Klarman. Two separate ensembles with several overlapping players help Rodriguez realize his vision of Something Old, Something New. About half the tracks are slinky reeds of songbook standards, such as Our Love Is Here to Stay, It Had to Be You, and One for My Baby, featuring Rodriguez's warm, engaging vocals out front of a silky orchestration that recalls Nelson Riddle or the Basie Band with Frank Sinatra.
It's a quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I've got a little story I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. So make it one for my baby and one more for the road.
Other tracks are roaring contemporary big band ravers, four of which were borrowed from Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band, the Los Angeles-based swing phenom that's won multiple Grammy Awards, and with charts this good, it's no wonder. Album highlights include the Rodriguez Orchestra's take on Goodwin staples, such as the super funky Hit the Ground Running, Gary Mayone's percolating keyboards, Kelly Dowell's chicken-scratching guitar, James McCoy's liquid bass lines, and George Mazzeo's scintillating drum patterns lay down a solid foundation for the boisterous horn section and respective soloists. A nod perhaps to Rodriguez's New Yorican roots, the track presents urban 70s funk with a Latin accent. On the Jazz Police, a not-so-subtle dig against critics and trad jazzers stuck in the past, guitarist Dowell utilizes a tonal palette that borrows textured riffs from spy movies and surf rock. The heated brass and woodwinds also recall era signifiers such as the theme songs to Batman, The Pink Panther, and Mission Impossible. Percussionist Michael Font's steady stream of conga bopping adds another layer of nostalgia to the proceedings. Rodriguez leads the band through an energized rendition of Brian Setzer's Rock This Town, another album highlight featuring a surprising intro that segues into the familiar bass line, plucked from the upright by Dave Wilkinson. Rodriguez, a fine ballad singer throughout, lets his hair down here as he offers a bluesy, jump-rocking lead vocal. Guitarist Martin Hand splits the difference between Setzer and Les Paul with his standout solo, and drummer Lorraine Faina brings plenty of fire to the session, drawing a direct line from big band swing to arena rock. The band is at its fiery best on a couple of modernized Latin jazz cuts, including Michael Philip Mossman's Cubalza, with its irrepressible Afro-Cuban rhythms and rafter-rattling solo spots for trumpet and tenor sax. Mueva Los Huesos, the title of which translates to Shake Your Bones, offers additional incentive to get up and dance, with Font and Mazzeo upping the Latin groove quotient along the bottom, and the horns ecstatically blasting out the theme of this Goodwin chart. Rodriguez and company conclude the recording with an elegant medley of Ellingtonia. Their tribute to Duke includes the haunting, timeless melodies In a Sentimental Mood and Mood Indigo, before inevitably moving into a full-on charge through It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, providing a chance for all to get down, before tipping out the door with graceful elan. Recognizing that the fortunes of big band jazz in the modern era were precarious at best, Rodriguez started his own production company in 1981, and it's still going strong today. And so is his signature event, the ever-popular Florida Renaissance Festival. Along the way, the enterprising bandleader also founded Viva Broward, a Hispanic heritage celebration, and resurrected the Cajun Zydeco Festival about a decade ago. While jobs for the Bobby Rodriguez Orchestra are few and far between these days, and busy performance and teaching schedules for the individual players must be coordinated, they do pop up on occasion, as they will for a gig in August at the All That Jazz Cafe in Sunrise. Fortunately, with Something Old, Something New, fans of exuberant large ensemble jazz can enjoy the best of what the big band has to offer at home, in the car, or roaring through their earbuds. The Bobby Rodriguez Orchestra will perform from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Sunday, August 2nd, at the All That Jazz Cafe, 3491 North Hiatus Road in Sunrise. Please call 954-572-0821 or visit allthatjazzcafe.com. For more information about the band or their new recording, please visit the Bobby Rodriguez Orchestra's Facebook page. You can also check out their music at reverbnation.com/Bobby Rodriguez Orchestra. This is Bob Weinberg for South Florida Arts Beat.
Bob Weinberg is a writer and editor for Jazz Is Magazine. You can contact him at bobweinberg@mac.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue here on WLRN and WKWM in just a moment.
For every child that dies from drowning, 4 others are hospitalized and 3 suffer brain damage. Simple WaterSmart measures can save a child's life. To learn more about WaterSmart measures, call 211 or go to watersmartbroward.org.
Hi, I'm Michael Stock. Every Sunday on Folk and Acoustic Music, I bring you the best in contemporary and traditional bluegrass, blues, old-time music, and folk music, plus interviews. This week with Joel Zoss, 2 guys from the Highwaymen, and Elijah Wald, author of the new book, Dylan Goes Electric. The public storyteller at Dr. Karen Neal is at 4 o'clock, Folk and Acoustic Music Sunday, starting at 2.
You must leave now, take what you need, you think will last.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot-doo-dee-doo-ya-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is pork butts. When the woman at the butcher counter asked Jimmy the Cutter, "Do you have a nice butt?" Jimmy didn't hesitate and said, "My wife kind of digs it." The lady pushed her walker aside to get a better look at the pork in Jimmy's case, pretending not to hear him. Her faded alligator purse fell open to reveal a half-empty carton of Lucky Strikes and a copy of Reader's Digest. He looked at me and rolled his eyes toward the crease of his paper deli hat. "That joke used to work," he sighed. He swung a stained cotton towel over his shoulder, reached into his case, pulled out three beautiful Nyman Ranch pork butts, and let me choose. From 30 years of cutting swine, his forearms were almost as large as the pork. The woman was busy squinting into the fogged-up edge of the meat case to smear some indigo lipstick on her small mouth. She smacked her lips together 3 times in hopes of some even application. She might have been disappointed if the mirror were any better. She smiled, satisfied, into her fuzzy reflection. I bought all 3 butts. Everyone was happy now. Pork is the most widely consumed meat in the world. The most beloved way in America just might be low and slow barbecue. And we here in the relative easy reach of the Caribbean have some history with the beasts. The Carib Indians on the island of Hispaniola taught the Spanish how to use the green wood lattices to make barbacoa, or what we now know as barbecue. A staple of the islanders' diet was the wild hog. The locals called the animals bucan, and the word eventually came to be applied to many of the wild seafaring island men, buccaneers. Barbecue has become one of the most favored foods in the world. North Americans have been grilling and smoking pork as if it were an article within our Constitution. Few culinary subjects stir such rabid debate from Texas to Memphis to South Carolina and back down to the Caribbean and South America. Some hold forth the theory that barbecue may have originated in China many centuries ago. It's said that a devastating fire burned down a barn, and the pig farmers, who had previously never cooked meat in a fiery fashion, solaced their loss by eating well that night. In the U.S. of A., we have 4 dominant kinds of barbecue. They are distinct in style, and the 4 are, in no particular order, Kansas City, Carolina, Texas, and Memphis. It would take too long to get into the details on this show. One day, I intend to write a whole cookbook on the topic. But basically, Kansas City-style barbecue is characterized by thick, tomato-based sauces containing sugar. My family on my wife's side is from KC mostly, and this is the kind we serve most often. Memphis-style tends to be more spicy than Kansas City-style. Texas barbecue focuses on beef, and the sauces tend to be thin and strong, with chilies riding up via Mexico. Carolina barbecue is a sauce-centric one. That sauce is, in general, thin and watery, tangy and peppery. Perhaps the most common confusion in regards to grilling and barbecue is, which is which? For my money, barbecue is what is done with a heat that is low and slow, and that grilling is done fast and fairly furious. I like them both. I got home from Jimmy's and rubbed that butt lavishly with a favored spice rub. And you know what? My wife? Yeah, she kind of digs it. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Gyoza Dumplings. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. How's the summer doing for you, Debbie?
It is crazy busy. Imagine, you know, we thought that it would be time to catch our breath, but
no.
There's just too much great stuff. an embarrassment of riches, so, you know, and I'm going to launch right in, if that's okay.
All yours.
And begin with the closing weekend of the International Hispanic Theater Festival, and there are four final productions on stages throughout the county that people really want to go out and see. Please, please forgive the complete distortion of the Spanish accent. I'll do my best, but it's not a language I studied. But tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday late afternoon, Teatro Avante, our very own company from Miami, is presenting Alguna Cosita que Aliva el Sufrir, which translates, I can do the English better, A Little Something to Ease the Pain, and that'll be presented at the Carnival Studio Theater at the Adrian Arsht Center here in downtown. And then tonight as well, another Miami company, Adriana Barraza Black Box and Nubarte, is presenting Principe Azul, Prince Charming, at their location, which is 3100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. Also tonight through Sunday, Cuarto y Mitad Teatro, which is a company from Madrid, Spain, is presenting Escriba Su Nombre Aquí, Write Your Name Here, at the Onstage Black Box Theater at Miami-Dade County Auditorium in Little Havana. And also tonight through Sunday, Complot, which is from Montevideo, Uruguay, is presenting E Que Revienten Los Actores, which means to hell with the actors. And that is at the Quebec Theater, also in Little Havana. But kudos to Mario Ernesto Sanchez and Teatro Avante, and great celebrations of their 30th anniversary of the International Hispanic Theater Festival. Go see it before it wraps on Sunday.
Bravo.
Absolutely. Great season for them. Also, a couple of really cool things that I always love to talk about and want people to really understand that there are great opportunities to be artists in this community, even if you've never had the opportunity or picked up a brush or taken a dance class. There are so many great things and opportunities to engage directly in the arts, including tonight at the Wilsonian on Miami Beach. They have a great program called Sketching in the Galleries, where they invite the public in for free. It's free and open to sit in the galleries and sketch the works yourself. They'll pair you with a drawing instructor to guide you through and offer insights on drawing techniques. They give you drawing materials and gallery stools. And it's just a wonderful way to engage with work in probably a way you've never done before. And it's open to all ages and all levels of experience. The only caveat is kids under 14 have to be accompanied by an adult. And they provide instruction in both English and Spanish. So go be an artist for a night. It's a fun, wonderful way to engage with new work. And along those same lines, a little bit more experience required for this one, but tomorrow morning at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, the Chicago Repertory Ballet is presenting a free ballet masterclass. If you've ever wanted to train or dance with a professional company and never had that access, tomorrow is your day, free and open to the public. The only caveat there, two caveats rather, are that you need to have approximately 5 years of dance experience to really benefit the most from the class. And they ask that you please be age 11 or up. And that's tomorrow morning at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center at 10 a.m. This is another wonderful weekend of music and festivals. And tomorrow, Saturday, is the 5th annual Overtown Music and Arts Festival. That's in the Overtown Business District all along Northwest 3rd Avenue between 8th and 11th Streets. And it's, again, a free, wonderful, fun morning and afternoon of music, free to the general public. The musical lineup includes Emma, Bobby Valentino, Raheem Devon, Melanie Fiona, Glenn Jones, Deep Fried Punk Band, and dozens of others. I just can't get through the whole list. But it's a fun, wonderful day right here in the heart of Overtown, the Overtown Music and Arts Festival. Tomorrow down at the Deering Estate, it's their summer cabaret concert. This is the second in their series. These are those wonderful concerts that they do right inside the intimate setting of the historic Stonehouse Ballroom. And tomorrow night's concert features Leonard Rutledge, who is a Miami native and jazz vocalist. The gates open at 7 and the concert begins at 8, and that's at the Deering Estate in Cutler Bay. And then, as I mentioned, after they finish doing the masterclass, the Chicago Repertory Ballet is doing a glorious concert tomorrow night on stage at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. Curtain is at 8 p.m., and they are doing works choreographed by their incredible team of choreographers to music of Vivaldi. And that's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. This is also a Culture Shock program, so if you're a student ages 13 to 22, get a Culture Shock ticket for Chicago Repertory Ballet tomorrow night at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. On Sunday, back down at the Cultural Arts Center again, a really cool program, Classic Albums Live is doing the Beatles' Abbey Road. The Classic Albums Live takes the greatest albums and recreates them note for note, cut for cut, from beginning to end. And if you've ever wanted to hear and imagine yourself sitting in a recording studio with the Beatles as they were cutting Abbey Road, this is the way to do it. It's a really phenomenal way to hear music and to dig deep into beloved albums. So that's going to be Sunday, July 26th at 6 p.m. at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. On Monday night, if you ever wanted to hear a play in its first professional reading, a new play is being presented at Little Haiti Cultural Arts Center called The Prey. It's an original work by South Florida playwright Gina Montet, and it is having its first public reading as part of the South Florida Theater League Summer Theater Fest Monday night at the Little Haiti Cultural Arts Center. I'll close with Community Arts Program's upcoming concert of Jason Marsalis Vibes Quartet. That's Thursday, July 30th at the Coral Gables Congregational Church. And then finally, there is a Family Fun Day at the Wilsonian, free for all families, and that's at Wilsonian on August 1st. Tons of fun activities.
Debbie, where do we go for more information?
To our website, miamidadearts.org, all one word, miamidadearts.org.
And we thank Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs, for all of those listings. Great weekend to you, Debbie.
Thanks so much, Ed.
And we want to let you know that the Sunshine Jazz Concert Series presents the 6th annual South Florida Jazz Hall of Fame induction ceremony and concert this Sunday, July 26th. And it was founded by Ms. Alice Day, and it'll take place at the Miami Shores Country Club. Inductees include Jackie Davis, great musicians, Jackie Davis, Monica Crosby, Bobby Thomas Jr., Simon Sauls, Arturo Sandoval, and a media personality, yours truly. We greatly appreciate that kind honor from Alice Day and the Sunshine Jazz Concert Series and SJO organization. That's this Sunday, July 26th from 6 to 9 p.m., Miami Shores Country Club, 10000 Biscayne Boulevard, Miami Shores. For more info, 554-1800 or 305-795-2360. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Bob Weinberg, Norman Van Aken, and Deborah Margold. Call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. Fax us your event information, 305-995-2221. Or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.